All right, here we go. Episode number 24 of Those Sumo Guys podcast. And today, Sean and I are going to talk about getting started in CrossFit. And, you know, maybe you, if you're a listener of the show, you have somebody in your life, family member, friend, you know, someone you know who's interested in getting, you know, healthier and into fitness. And maybe they've even thought about trying CrossFit. In this episode, we kind of want to speak to that person, where maybe you could send them this episode and, they could, you know, listen to it and feel a little bit better and more confident about trying it out. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're going today, Sean.
Yeah. I like it, 'cause I think it's important. We always talk about that CrossFit specifically always has these weird, like preconceptions about it of, you know, maybe how it was viewed 15 years ago that just never went away, or, you know, you hear negative things in the world and then you think that that's what it is at every gym, or maybe you've had a bad experience at a gym or whatever. You know, there's a million different things, but hopefully, like you were just saying, Mike, we can ease everybody's minds if they're on the fence or want to try it out, or yeah, have somebody in their life that they want to kind of bring into the fold a little bit.
Yeah, what do you think some of the preconceptions are about CrossFit that might hold somebody back from giving it a try?
I think one of the bigger ones is like that I can't do any of that. Like they're doing walking on their hands and doing muscle ups and stuff like that. Like I'm not going to be able to do any of that. I think that's a pretty big one, especially depending on the person's age that is wanting to come in. Like if it's a teenager and they're like, yeah, I want to try and be able to do that. But then as soon as there's this weird, you know, threshold that once it's crossed, everybody's like, yep, I'm out. Like, I can't do any of that. And yeah, I think that's a hard one for people to get over.
Yeah. Maybe they saw it on TV and saw people doing some crazy things, and that, you know, spoiler, that is not what goes on in your average gym,
yeah.
What you see on TV. So if that's you, you know, you can put that aside. That's not what it looks like in the gym.
Or even here's another one. It's that person who's on the outside looking in, and maybe it's the person trying to get them to come to it. Maybe that person is very capable and they're like, I've seen all the stuff that you do. I'm not going to do any of that. Like they're almost a little intimidated by it right off the bat. You've heard that one, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on who's trying to convince you, you're like, okay, I know you can do it, but that's not me, kind of attitude. But, you know, as we'll get into later, everybody starts somewhere. And
yeah,
you know, I think at one point in time, that person was closer to you than you think.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good point. Is like we tend to, on this piece specifically, but we tend to just compare ourselves to other people right off the bat, and whatever it is, maybe I'm a runner and I just like to go run a marathon, and then you look at people's times, maybe you have a friend that does it, and you're looking at them and you're like, oh my god, like I'm never going to be where they are, or like whatever it is. And yeah, I think it's a hard one, because I think it's Theodore Roosevelt, he has that quote where it's like comparison is the thief of joy, right? Yeah. And I think that's a hard one, and I think it's if people can come into it with the right mindset and kind of know that they're running their own race in a way, and just working on what they need to be working on, and maybe it's just, you know, more cardiovascular exercise, more strength training, whatever, like they're getting the benefit that they need, not trying to be somebody else.
Yeah, I think in order to get started, and like, you know, as you're thinking about getting started, you're jumping into it, you need to kind of come in with a little bit of like, just be humble. Like you just have to be. You can't come in with any kind of ego, for sure. So on the opposite end of the spectrum from this person who's maybe too intimidated to get started.
Well, and then on that too, Mike, about like egos and stuff, I think that again, some people have this preconceived notion of like people that do CrossFit at a high level are narcissistic, egotistical, whatever, you know, people that don't really care about me. And like, if I'm working out next to them, they're going to be like turning their back on me because I'm going too slow or what, you know, whatever it may be. Or in a partner workout, right? It's like, I don't want to be partnered with that person because they're not going to care about me. Like, but I'm going to slow them down.
Or they're going to be mad that I slowed them down or something.
Yeah. And so
I see that a lot.
I think like even something like that is funny because when you're on, again, the outside looking in, you can automatically associate, like you can think that. And even sometimes people on the inside looking in even further can have that too. Right. And I mean, we always talk about us specifically at Summa, we have such a good community where nobody is like that. Like, I don't think one person in the gym, it will ever be like, you're slowing me down, Mike, come on. Like, nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, largely. I mean, everybody at our gym, at least, super supportive of one another. You know, quite often, if you're not familiar with CrossFit, like we at our gym, you know, clap the loudest for the person finishing the workout last. So, you know, it doesn't even matter if you are the person finishing last, like everybody's going to have your back and supporting you and really just wants the best for you.
Yeah. And for people, coming in, I think that may be one of the I guess bigger surprises for people. Like, you go into it with the idea of like, all right, I'm gonna exercise more and I'm gonna get healthy. And a lot of people get a little shocked when they're like, wow, the people that I'm doing this with, I enjoy more so than the exercise itself, and I'm getting healthier on top of that. And like, you make new friends or, you know, whatever, like loved ones, you know, CrossFit, we always joke, it's like people getting married because they met through CrossFit, you know, or whatever. It's like the communal part of it, I think, is the thing that people discount the most right off a jump. But I think it's the biggest thing that keeps people coming. And I think that's ultimately, you know, when we talk about longevity and everything, so you do the thing that you enjoy the most, right? And most of the time, people love the people they're working out with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, before we get into some more reasons, you know, maybe why people have a hard time getting started, is if you do have a friend or family member who's interested, great, send them this episode, you know. But if you have someone who's hasn't expressed any interest or anything, maybe don't, you know, be the one that is constantly bombarding them with this kind of stuff. Like, it kind of has to be the person's decision. So make sure that it's coming from them and not from you. I just wanted to kind of make that note real quick. Because sometimes when you push people, they resist even more. So, you know, if they start showing interest, then it'd be a great time to start, you know, giving them some more information on the best way to get started.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, what's another reason that you get, or people may be hesitant to start?
Yeah. I mean, I meet with a lot of new people. I talk with a lot of people on through email, and, you know, I've heard everything. I've heard every reason in the book, Sean. And I think, you know, one of the more common ones that I see, that I hear, well, let's start with one of my favorites. One of my favorites is they say, they need to get in shape first before starting. They're like, just give me like a month or like two and I'm going to get really fit. And then I'm going to start because again, going back into that, like they're intimidated to start. They're maybe lacking in the humility category a little bit. They don't want to start and they don't want to look bad, you know?
Yeah.
They don't want to be last in the workout. They want to come in, you know, with a certain level of fitness. And, you know, I know what I would say to that person. But let's start with, what would you say to that person, Sean?
Well, I think it's always one of those things. It's like, it is exercise. You don't need to do exercise to do exercise. Right? Like, I mean, I would tell everybody too, the one part we were talking about before we hopped on is like truly understanding our goal as trainers and coaches is to make sure that nobody is so far behind everybody else that it's humiliating or, you know, obvious, whatever. It's like, it's our job to make sure that we scale workouts appropriately for you at any given level that you're walking in with, to make sure that you're finishing with everybody else. Right. And I feel like with us, it's like, if we don't do that, then we are not doing our job to the best that we can. So to that person, I mean, I would try and relay that to them of like, you know, making sure that they understand, like, we are going to help you out as much as we humanly possibly can to make sure that you don't have that experience that you're putting in your brain right now. What would you tell them, Mike?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would say you come here to get fit. It's not the other way around, you know. You're going to come here to be healthy. You don't get healthy first to get healthy, just like you said, like it's an oxymoron of some sort. But I can understand like where it's coming from, I guess. But yeah. Just know that, you know, you just come here and just, this is where you are going to see a lot of those benefits. So why not just get started sooner? Because the sooner you can get started, the better.
Yeah. Well, Mike, on that note and what you just said, do you think that it's most people, I think, want to be prepared for anything? Would you say that, you know, this example of needing to get in shape is people feeling not prepared for what they're walking into?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's like a job interview. You're like, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm as prepared as I possibly can to nail this interview. And it's like, do you think that people, it's coming from a feeling of like not being prepared enough for that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, it's like, I would say treat this not like a test, you know, that you're preparing for, but treat it like a never ending test, like something, you know, people often look at fitness and like health and wellness goals as this like mountaintop, right? So they're like, I'm going to climb the mountain, I'm going to get to the top and it's going to be amazing. But the hard truth is that there's no peak, there's no pinnacle. You know, you might reach the goal, but then it's like, then what? You know?
Yeah.
Guess what people who climb mountains usually do, Sean? They usually climb other mountains. Because they're like, man, that was awesome. What do I do now? And you know, just got to treat it like a long-term commitment. And it's it's an ever-moving target, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was just on that. I think people can probably hear that and then be like, well, what's the point then? Right.
Yeah.
We've had the podcast about mindset and, you know, goal setting and all of that. I think it really is coming back to a lot of that of understanding what you just said, like to its fullest potential, really. It's like understanding that fitness should be a lifelong endeavor, not a quick fix, you know? And I think when you have the mentality of like, I need to get in shape first to then do this, like you're kind of shifting more towards that quick fix mentality of like, I need to do this so I can be good at this. Right.
And it's not that the next thing.
Right. Right. And I think it just needs to be like, I'm accepting whatever I'm walking into. I know that I have work to do. Maybe it's I've been lacking in my own cardiovascular endurance, you know, whatever. And it's understanding like this is going to make me better. Kind of like you said, I don't need to be better to then get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah. So, you know, don't feel like you need to get in shape before coming into the gym. Just, you know, make that decision. And you know, as we'll talk about later, it's just about being consistent after that. But another reason, I guess, we could go to another one here. Like, so that's one I hear a lot. And probably the other one that I hear the most often is that, you know, maybe you're the person that's kind of, you're very busy. I would imagine a lot of people listening are very busy and maybe you don't have time or feel like you don't have time to fit the gym into your schedule. That's one of the more common, probably top three most common ones that I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, depending on your schedule, you might be very busy. You have kids, you have a full-time job, you're trying to juggle everything. And that is, completely understandable to feel like it's hard to fit new things in. Yeah, what do you hear that often, Sean? And what would you say?
Yeah, and I even he like I'll take it one step further. That can be even kind of something that comes up when people start and
Yeah.
then they're like, I'm not consistent because my schedule's too busy.
Right, things
Right.
kind of creep up, get in the way.
Yeah. And it's a hard one because again, like having a kid of my own, I understand that life can be a series of unknowns at this point where you're like, I have this plan. I woke up, my kid is now sick, and now those plans have changed. And I really think that that can.
Could you get that? Could you try again?
Whoa, Siri's talking at me. I really think that that can be a big part of this, but at the same time, don't just automatically say you're busy without even trying to make a plan for yourself. Like in that way of like, the failing to plan is planning to fail type of mentality of like, if I just automatically blanket statement say I'm too busy, I can't work out, I don't have any time, and I do, like we've talked about before, it's maybe I come home and sit on the couch for 45 minutes to an hour after work, like there's your time right there. And I understand that you could get a little tired from work or whatever it may be, but there is time. You're not busy 24 hours out of the day.
Yeah.
Especially 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Maybe you adopt, I'm gonna try and work out 2 days a week. That's my goal. I have 2 hours out of the however many hours in a week, I forget.
Yeah, I mean, I did the math on this just for this conversation. 168 hours in a week.
A 7 day week is 168. There we go. So if you can honestly say that you do not have 2 hours for two times a week, I think you're really doing yourself a disservice. And kind of fibbing to yourself a little bit. I don't want to use the L word,
Yeah.
but I think it really is it's a hard one for people to break because everybody's been tired. Everybody's had busy times throughout their life. But you have to understand it's like your health and wellness should take priority over a lot of things sometimes.
Yeah.
Mentally, for mental reasons as well, right? We talk about it all the time of like how much better you feel mentally and physically because of all the chemical reactions that happen when you exercise, that you can de-stress yourself a lot,
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote down a lot of the same points as you. I said, try with once or twice a week, 1 or 2 hours out of that 168 hours. I bet you that no matter what craziness is going on in your schedule, that you can do that. I
Yeah.
think people kind of throw this one around a lot as a way to kind of have a quick and easy out.
Yeah.
I just don't have time. And I think, if you really looked at your schedule and where you're spending time, and you literally wrote down what you were doing each hour of the day, that there would be some wasted time in there.
Yeah.
Often those hours happen in the beginning and the end of our days. So like after we wake up, before we go to bed, in the middle, it's full of work and kids and sports, driving them around, all that kind of stuff. But I bet you if you look at the tail ends of either the beginning and the end of your day, there's time there. Maybe you spent 2 hours watching Netflix last night. Maybe you decide that there could be a better way of spending that time. I think it's all about how we prioritize our time and actually spend it. And is that time that we're spending going towards something that's helping us or hurting us, or can it be more productive? That would be my question. That would be my challenge to you is like really take a hard look at your time and how you're spending it, particularly in the morning and at night. And is it things like watching TV for hours? Is it you know, some wasted time, like you said, where you zoned out and looked at Instagram for an hour. Because that happens to people more than they think.
Yeah, that happens to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really easy sometimes to fall into that hole. And it's hard. All of a sudden you blink and you're like, holy crap, 90 minutes has gone by. You know, it's hard. I do think the benefit there of being more, you know, regimented with your time a little bit, or actually I won't even say that. I'll say being more conscious of your time, like you kind of said.
Yeah.
It can be a big thing, because I think a lot of people, like we've been kind of talking about right here, aren't conscious, or maybe aren't aware of like how much wasted time that they have. And if you know, it can go into the same thing with like nutrition or anything. It's like, if you're connected to whatever you're doing and you realize what you're doing, you can tell yourself that, oh, this is probably bad for me to do, or I could be doing something better. Right. And I think, circling back around to somebody new who wants to try out the gym, and CrossFit specifically, is like, we really do our best to condense as much time, or as much, as many things and focus and all of that into a single hour, 60 minutes, that you're going to get everything you need. Warming up, cooling down, exercising, whatever it may be, lifting weights. The beauty of CrossFit is its time and kind of how condensed it can be and how much you can get in that 60 minutes. And then you're good to go, right? I think conventional gyms of going and then, you know, all right, I got to go do 20 minutes on the elliptical, and then I'm going to walk around and talk to my friends, and then I'm going to like bench press for a few sets, and then I'm going to go do these and X, Y, and Z and all those things. And then all of a sudden 2 hours have passed. And I think people can get into that mindset of like, I spent so much time at the gym that it's this huge undertaking, when CrossFit is very different than that. And it's better for it, because it's more self-aware of people's time constraints, their schedules and all of that. And it's like, get in, get your stuff done, and then be ready to go for the day.
Yeah, that's an interesting take that I didn't consider. It's like, not only do people say that they don't have time to get to the gym, maybe, you know, this concept of time, like you said, maybe they do go to a more conventional gym and they're wasting a lot of time, spending more time. CrossFit is very efficient, like you said, in its use of time. You know, there's always a warm-up, coach-led throughout the whole hour, you know, through the workout. You don't need to think about the workout that you're going to do. Like, if you're planning on working out on your own, there, you got to consider the time it takes to plan your workouts and, you know, set things up, that kind of stuff. That's all done for you in CrossFit, in our gym. It's interesting. And then on the opposite end of that too, it's like, some people are like, oh, why don't I just go for a run? You know, I'll just like put my clothes on, walk out the door, hit a run, and I'll be finished. And then I got time for that. I think where that falls short is, again, like, where most of the time people don't do a warm up. I think people don't realize the injury rates when it comes to things like running. We did a whole episode on that with Dr. Jim Smith. You know, the injury rates are really high, partly because people don't spend the time they need to on cooling down and warming up. I think, you know, investing this 1 hour of time into a full workout, warm up to cool down, is something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah. All right. And then, Mike, on that note, I think that's a good segue to another thing that we hear a lot, is if I do CrossFit, I will get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I don't want to be hurt. I can't afford to be hurt, you know, whatever it may be. And I think that that's a really big one that some people really struggle with. And I think this is one that can go back to like a decade ago plus, when, you know, the whole CrossFit, when CrossFit started really and started becoming more mainstream, it was the powers that be at the time kind of like roasting CrossFit of like, these are unsafe movements for the general population. And because you're seeing the CrossFit games and you're seeing these people do these ridiculous things. And I think people are like, if I try to do that, I'm going to get hurt without seeing or understanding anything that happens prior to what they just watched. Like you were just hinting at it, like warming up, cooling down, scaling movements, you know, find it like, no, we're never going to ask anybody to just all of a sudden walk on their hands as soon as they walk in the door. Right.
Right. Or lift 400 pounds. Like it's all progressive. It's all, you know, we make sure that people are doing the appropriate movements and loading for that day.
Yeah. And to your point though, I think when people do stuff on their own, they discredit and discount warming up and cooling down. Like a lot.
Yeah.
More than they want to maybe admit to, but that is where so many injuries happen, especially overuse injuries. Like if it's running, like we'll pick on running for a second, but if it's running and you don't warm up and then you go pound on your knees or your Achilles or calves or whatever for 45 minutes because you're going for like a 5 mile run, like that is so hard on your body. And I think you're at such a higher risk of getting injured doing that with zero warm up or anything on your own than you would ever be in one of our classes. Or like not even our classes, like most CrossFit gyms, like you're gonna be okay.
Yeah, and the way, you know, we are always doing different movements, different you know, different things. And even if you do warm up, let's just keep picking on running for a second. Even if you are warming up, if that's all you're doing, you could still run into issues with overuse.
Yeah. You know, we'll even take a step back. It's like how we program too. It's like trying not to do the same movements or patterns over and over and over again. So like if we're just squatting every day, that's going to be a lot on, right?
Yeah.
All the mechanics of our squat. Same thing with so much pressing, like that's going to be a lot for the shoulders or wrists or whatever, you know? And it's like, you know, diversifying, like what you're doing helps that.
Yeah.
And I think for the common person, it's like understanding, you know, we, in USAW, like the weightlifting certification, they give it's a chart and it's the percentage of injuries in like every major sport or activity, and weightlifting literally has the lowest percentage of injury in anything. If it's done properly, that, you know, obviously, right. But every other major sport that people play,
whether sports, it's especially running, powerlifting,
football, basketball,
you even know, bodybuilding, even bodybuilding was higher.
Yeah. Like if you're in like a rec league basketball, you know, in your 50s, that, you know, the injuries rate for that is much higher than something that we're going to do.
I can personally attest that playing adult league soccer is not good if you don't want to get injured.
And on that note, is I have the same mentality. That's why I have had friends be like, hey, do you want to go do like this flag football league? And I was like, no, I was like, I do not want to do that just because I know what that entails.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're concerned that you're going to get hurt, I would, you know, consider the points that we've talked about. Like you are, the coach is watching over everything that you do for that hour. You know, you're going to do a thorough warm up. You're going to do varied workouts. Overuse injuries are pretty rare. And I will say, like, you know, owning a gym for 10 years now and doing this for this long and seeing as many people as I do, very, very few injuries, you know, very few. Especially compared to the injuries that I've seen from daily life, you know, people just stepping off a curb the wrong way, or, you know, it's never anything cool. So it's something stupid like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't be concerned with that. I would be more concerned with, like we talked about in that episode that I referenced before, the injuries of inactivity, or, you know, things that happen when you are not active enough.
Yeah,
and I think it's a good segue to the last kind of thing that I wanted to talk about today is some people, you know, maybe when they're getting started, or even like we've talked about before, this could apply to someone who's been doing it for a little bit. you know, some people say that CrossFit's too expensive, you know, especially if you're comparing it, you know, the our monthly rate to Planet Fitness. What they're like, why can't I just pay $10 a month and, you know, and just do that? And the answer is like, you could pay $10 a month. You could just go running, but the, like we talked about before, you know, it's all in a couple of different factors. One, you know, there's overuse injuries that we talked about already. Two, the time and energy into, you know, coming up with workouts and that type of thing. And then three, I think, you know, are you going to stick with it for mm-hmm. this lifelong journey that we talked about before? You know, this, are you going to do it 2, 3, 4 times a week for the rest of your life? Are you going to be able to keep up with it and be consistent? Because really, that's the key when we talk about health and wellness.
Yeah. Like on this exact note, and like I can even draw a parallel or, you know, anything to what Crystal and I just had. We don't have a lot of them, but we had a date night last night, and we went out and got sushi and, you know, dinner. And our bill was more than a 3-time-a-week membership is
yeah.
at Suma, right?
Yeah, one night experience.
One night for 2 hours, right? Yeah. And I think that is where a lot of people can, you know, get a little too far into the weeds of like, I can't afford that. Well, if you're not going and doing that every weekend, you can absolutely afford it, you know?
Yeah, maybe, you know, like we talked about with the time management thing, you know, take a hard look at your expenses and what are you spending money on? And, you know, if you are going out to eat, I mean, some people go out to eat 3-4 times a week, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I don't know, but, and, you know, take a good hard look at what that actually costs you.
Yeah. When we look at back at when we were in quarantine and you couldn't go out to eat, it was like, oh my God, I have so much extra money. Like,
what am I going to do with all this
happening? Because you didn't realize like, holy crap, like I'm spending so much money going out because food's just so much more expensive that way than anything. Or, and we've used the example too, Mike, is like, maybe you go to Starbucks every morning and get, you know, a $6 cup of coffee, you know, and you multiply that, it's $35 or whatever, you know, if it's right. $5, $35 a week, you know, you multiply that by 4, that's it right there.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, regardless of what they're spending money on, like that, those are good examples, but I just think, you know, it just illuminates, what are you prioritizing? What are you spending your money on? Take a good, hard, honest look at it and be like, you know, can I give up that coffee or that one date night a month, or, you know, those 12 subscription services, or, you know, like whatever it is you are actually spending money on. And do you really, is it really a matter of you not having that monthly, you know, payment, or is it a matter of that you're not prioritizing it and you're prioritizing these other things? Because yeah. That's like the hard, honest truth.
Yeah. And I really do think that like this one is probably the hardest one to, I guess, talk to people about, because sometimes the people are very firm financially, right? Like they have a budget or whatever it is, you know, and it's hard for people to sometimes to budge on that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like everybody's different, but to what you were just saying, like, I really try and tell this to people whenever this comes up, right? And this goes for a lot of things, but it's an investment in you, right? Like if you make wise investments in the stock market, right, you're going to make money. If you make wise investments in your health, you're going to be healthier, right? You're not going to have these comorbidities that people have of being obese or heart disease. We've talked about before, people who have reversed, you know, diabetes diagnoses and things like that. Like this is a truly important investment in you, and the sacrifice to make that investment is usually very minimal.
Yeah.
In any way, right?
Yeah.
It's time and money off of the two things.
We've literally had people, like you said, get off of medications, diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, those cost money.
Yeah.
If you need like cold hard facts here, like those cost money. You know, we've had members lose 100 pounds, 60 pounds, 30 pounds, you know, anything. Like we've run the gamut of seeing all those kind of things. And that translates to, you know, money. Like healthcare costs money. Like you have co-pays and deductibles, and you know, and it's hard to kind of see into the future like that. And I understand that. But you're going to be saving money by investing a little bit now. And I think people can understand, are savvy enough to understand that kind of concept.
And it, again, without being able to, like you said, have your crystal ball and see into the future, that's hard for people to come to terms with. But I think out of all of these, like all of these points that we're talking about, is this is the biggest return on investment out of all of them, right? For, you know, whatever X may be as far as payment a month for a CrossFit gym or like, you know, to exercise, you're going to be so much better off because of that. And then you start to recognize like, it, you know, all right, I have now invested in this. Say it is what it is. It's like $150 a month, whatever it may be. I start to then look at, all right, I'm feeling better as far as my exercise go. I don't really want to go out and eat crappy food anymore. Like you, so then you start to save there. You start to purchase better food at the grocery store, which in turn is cheaper and more sustainable as far as everything goes. You start to then look at your time and how you're spending that. Like you really have this sense of accountability because of the financial responsibility that you've already put out. So you start to have better habits because of that. We talk that when we go back to the Planet Fitness model of $10 a month, they're doing that for a reason, because they want you to not come and forget about it and just continue to pay $10 a month, because that doesn't hurt you.
Right.
Right. When you have more skin in the game, you tend to try better.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. We see that across the board for sure. The more of the buy-in, the more of the accountability, the more adherence.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I think, you know, you kind of started touching on this, so let's just keep going down that road. Like, let's say we perked somebody's ears up right now. Somebody's like ready to get started or thinking about it still, and we are like maybe hit on something that they were thinking of. What could someone expect after starting? Like you kind of touched on it a little bit there. Like, you know, you start making better decisions in terms of your nutrition, and like you started kind of touching on it. What are other things that people can expect, you know, after starting down this route?
I think a big one is accountability, right? And that can be a harsh word to people's ears sometimes, but in this point, I think it's really an important one and a positive one for people too, right? It's the thing that's going to keep you coming back, whether it's the community that's in the part of the gym. So it's like the people you're going to work out with. As soon as you start to, you know, come a few times, and maybe it's the regulars that have been there for a while and they start to bring you underneath their wing and like really help you out and do all of those things. Now you have accountability from them, right? You now have met with coaches, or Mike, they're meeting with you for your onboarding process, right? There are things. Now you have another touch point where we're going to reach out to you or talk to you, be like, hey, how's it going? Like these sorts of things. You have your spouse, if they're the ones that brought you in, or, you know, friend or whatever, they're going to be talking to you about it. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, to circle way back around to the beginning of the, kind of the community part that people don't necessarily think about first, is like that's what ends up becoming the best part of it. Because again, if I'm held accountable for things, like I'm going to do better at those things. And you truly make friends, like make I love the 8 o'clock ladies that go out to breakfast like once a month, you know, after working out. And a newer lady came into the gym, and she had only been there for like a couple weeks at that point. And that group of ladies was like, hey, come out to breakfast with us. And we're automatically like welcoming to their group. And nobody was weird about it. And I think that that can be such a positive thing and force in your life of having that friendship and things like that and accountability mentally, physically, everything to make you do better and feel better. So I think that's a big one that a lot of people can expect. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
I think that's a big one. I think that's the thing that keeps people coming, like you said. And maybe like you said in the way back in the beginning, maybe not what their first expectation is of the people there. And that's what you're going to get when you walk through the doors right away.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're going to get more fit. You're going to feel better. All that stuff will come, but I think the bigger points are what we talked about, like staying and sticking with it. Like the stuff that keeps you sticking with it, keeps you having fun, keeps you feeling supported. That's why people come.
Yeah.
You know,
I it's like so hard to, I don't know, belittle that of like, I love that the most as a coach. I love seeing that more than anything. And, you know, you have this like with your classes that you coach every week, Mike, I have it with mine, Katie has it with hers, Steph, Rick, all of it. There's, you have such a good relationship with those people then. And like, you look forward to seeing them as well, right? From our side of the fence here. And it really like, it's the thing that it makes me the most happy as far as CrossFit as a whole is that communal part of it. Just because you don't get that anywhere else. Right? If you played a team sport, you understand it. Like being a part of that team, this is just that, just not competitive, right? Like, like nobody cares. Everybody's there for each other. And it really is like a welcomed thing to have. I don't know. Like it, especially if you need it.
Yeah.
Like again, if you're too busy and you don't hang out with your own friends or whatever, but for an hour twice a week, you get to hang out with your friends at the gym and maybe like get away from the stress of work or whatever it is, that can be huge.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. I think if you're thinking about it, like you can do this,
yeah.
You can get started. You can do CrossFit. We're here to help. If you have any questions, reach out to us. You know, I think we would love to see you. Anything else you want to say, Sean?
No, and I kind of just to piggyback off of what you were just saying is like, if you're on the fence about it, come try it. If it's a friend, your spouse, your brother, sister, whatever, daughter, son, come try it like once. We always have those bring a friend for free days every month at the last Saturday of every month. Come try it and see what you think, because I guarantee that it will break a lot of these things that you think about before you get there. You're like, that wasn't, sure, it might have been intense or hard, you know, because it was a level of fitness maybe I haven't done in a while or something like that. But I think it's, you will find out how rewarding it can be. And then also just how fun it can be to do that with people and to get cheered on, right, by other people or whatever. Like that can be powerful.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want more friends. Come join us.
I just think you won't regret it.
No.
In any way.
All right, people. Yeah, let us know if you have any questions. Shoot us an email. And hope to see you soon. Have a great day.
Bye, everybody.